We continue Bezat Hashem in our Limud of Masechet Ketubot. We are up to Daf Lamed Vav Amud Aleph. However, we'll begin from the bottom of Lamed He Amud Bet. We're up to the words Mai Arayot Umay Shniyot La Arayot. This Limud is Leinu Nishmat Shelomo Ben Simcha, Baruch Ben Shelomo, Shelomo Ben Reuven, Erez Ben Miriam, Shaul Ben Latife, Yom Tov Ben Chana, Naim Ben Chatun, Sulika Bat Chana, Esther Bat Ladisia, Ladisia Bat Yakot, את הרבקה בת מרדכי, רבקה בת דבורה, אבא שלומית בת אילנה אסתר, חיה אסתר, חווה בת שרה, לובה בת מזל, עליהם השלום. אוסו לזכות רפואה שלמה, פרעלי שבע בת נטה, חנה בת סוליקה, גבריאלה מסודה בת שרה. We learned in a ברייתא, towards the bottom of למדה עמוד ב', עריות and שניות לעריות do not have קנס and do not have the payment of פיתוי. Memaenet also don't have, Ailonit doesn't have, and Yotzet Mishumra doesn't have. And now the Gemara is going to discuss this Braita that we just learned. Mai Arayot Umay Shniyot La'Arayot. What is the Braita referring to when it says Arayot and when it says Shniyot La'Arayot? Because Ilei Ma'Arayot, Arayot Mamash, if you're telling me that when it says in the Braita Arayot, it's referring to what's commonly understood as arayot, which means forbidden relatives mideoraita, and shniyot means midivrei sofrim, those who are secondary relatives, which are mutal mideoraita, but they are prohibited midirabanan, such as, for example, em imo, the mother of his mother, and so on. If that's what shniyot is referring to, so then the question is, kevand mideoraita chazyale, amai en laim knas? Since midoraita, the shniyot are permitted to the person. So why? What's the reason to say that if he's me'anes, if he rapes them, there's no knas? The whole reason till now we've been saying, in a case, why is there no knas? That's because if it's punishable, if it's liable by death, so then en adam metum shalem. So you don't pay a knas when you have the liability of death. But since shniyot midivrei sofrim are mutar midoraita, there's no liability, there's no punishment here midoraita, why shouldn't the knas apply? Ela, rather, you have to say like this. Arayot, when it says arayot in this braita, it's referring to chayavim itot bedin. It's referring to the forbidden relatives that are, for which one is liable to receive mita bidei bedin, death penalty at the hands of bedin. And shniyot is referring to chayave kretot. Shniyot refers to those that are punishable by karet. Aval chayave lavin yesh laim knas. In other words, only arayot and shniyot, only chayave mitot bedin and chayave kretot are patur from knas, the Braita is saying. We deduce from this that chayave lavim, if it's a prohibited relation only by the isur of lav, then yesh laim knas. The knas would be applicable. Umani, and who is the Braita going like? Shimon HaTimni. He, remember, Shimon HaTimni is the one who exempts from paying the knas only if it's in a case with a woman where the kiddushin would not be tofes, such as chayave mitot bedin or chayave kretot, as he learns from the pasuk velo tihye leisha. But by chayave lavin, where the kiddushin is tofes, then there would be a knas. So the Braita is like Shimon HaTimni, if this is how it's explained. Ika d'amri, some say, to explain it differently. When it says arayot in the Braita, it's referring to both chayave mitot bedin v'chayave kretot. Shniyot is referring to chayave lavin, which means in those cases there is no knas. Mani, Rabbi Shimon ben Menasyahi. So then you have to say, who is the author of this Braita? It's like Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya, who argues with Shimon HaTimni. And he holds that even in a case of Isurei Lavin, there is no Knas. And that's why Chayave Lavin, included in Shniyot, there would not be Knas according to the Braita. That is going according to Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya. Now the Gemara wants to explain each statement of the Braita. Hamema'enet en la lo Knas velo pitui. It's stated that the Mema'enet, the one who refuses to remain married to the husband, to her husband, such as a ktana, who was married off by her brothers or by her mother, which is only kiddushin midrabanan, so she has the option to opt out, to refuse once she's right about to become a gdola. So in this case, the Braita says, "Hamema enet en la lo knas velo pitui." There's no knas, and there's no pitui. Okay, haktana be'alma itla. We can infer from this that a regular ktana, she would have knas if she would be raped. Which means, if you say mema'enet doesn't have knas and pitui. Now mema'enet is normally understood to be a ktana. So only the ktana who's mema'enet does not have knas and pitui. But a regular ktana would have, right? Oh, so then you say, Mani, who is the author of this braita who says this? Rabbanan, the Amri ktana yesh laknas. It's going according to Rabbanan who hold that a ktana who was ne'eneset, who was raped, also there is knas. Okay, but Ema Seifa, continue the braita. The braita says, Ailonit en la lo knas velo pitui. An Ailonit, an underdeveloped woman, she doesn't, if she was raped, en la lo knas velo pitui. Well, ata'an le Rabbi Meir, that comes according to the Shita of Rabbi Meir, the Amar Ktana en la Knas, who argues with Chachamim, who holds that a Ktana, there is no Knas, and that's why the Ailonit also does not get the Knas, because Veha Mikatnuta Yatzta LeBegel, the Ailonit goes out straight from the state of Ktana, to the state of Beger. She doesn't have the period that's called Na'ara. According to Rabbi Meir, only in the period of a Na'ara, which means from 12 years old till 12 and a half years old, is there the halakha of the knas by rape. But Ktana, not, and Ailonit, not. So that's why the Ailonit does not have knas and not pitui. That must be going according to Rabbi Meir. Because according to Rabbanan, who hold that even a ktana has knas, then why shouldn't an ailonit have knas? She's considered a ktana until she goes out to the state of bogeret. So it must be this is going like Rabbi Meir. Risha Rabbanan v'seifa Rabbi Meir. So you're saying the first statement, mema'enet ena lo knas velo pitui, that goes according to Rabbanan. And the seifa, the next statement that says, ailonit ena knas velo pitui, that's Rabbi Meir. It's a bit of a problem. Maybe you'll want to answer Kula Rabbi Meir. No, both statements are going according to Rabbi Meir. Ubimema'enet savar la k'Rabbi Yehuda. Which means, really, both statements is like Rabbi Meir, who holds that a ktana does not have knas. And that's why the Ailonit does not have knas. Why did he say by mema'enet en la knas? Any ktana doesn't have knas. Why dafka did he single out mema'enet? Because by Mema'enet, Rabbi Meir holds like Rabbi Yehuda, who we will see later on, that a Na'ara can also be Mema'en. Not only a Ktana can do Mi'un, she can do Mi'un up till 12 and a half, even while she's a Na'ara. And that's why, since a Na'ara can also be Mema'en, he had to stress that only a Mema'enet of a Na'ara does not have knas of pitui or onis, whereas a regular Na'ara, obviously, does have knas. But is that really a way to answer? Umi savar la? Does Rabbi Meir really hold, like Rabbi Yehuda, that a Na'ara can be mema'en? Vehatanya, but we learned in a braita, ad matai habat mema'enet, till when can the girl be mema'en, till which age? So Rabbi Meir says, ad shetavi shete se'arot, divrei Rabbi Meir, until she brings the simanim of na'arut, which means up and until na'arut, but not including na'arut. Rabbi Yehuda omer, ad shirbe shachor al alavan. Rabbi Yehuda says, till there is more black than white, which means that's obviously till after she becomes a na'ara, even later into the stage of na'arut. So we see Rabbi Meir argues with Rabbi Yehuda. He holds that a na'ara cannot do mi'un. So you cannot explain this way. Ela, rather, we have to explain the braita, our braita, the conflicting two statements of mema'enet and ailonit. Rabbi Yehuda, rather, it's going like Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that a na'ara can do mi'un. And therefore, you can explain that when it says in the Braita mema'enet en la knas, it means na'ara mema'enet. A na'ara mema'enet does not have a knas, as opposed to a regular na'ara who would have knas. So you can't make the diuk from here that the ktana would have knas. Ubiktana savar la kerabi meir. And regarding the knas of the ktana, he holds like Rabbi Meir that ktana does not have knas. And that's why he said Ailonit does not have knas, because Ailonit goes straight from the stage of katnut to bagrut. So therefore, Ailonit does not have knas. And when it says Mema'enet does not have knas, that doesn't mean as opposed to a ktana who does have. No, ktana does not have knas. When it said Mema'enet, it meant Na'ara Mema'enet, as opposed to a regular Na'ara. Because Rabbi Yehuda is l'shitato that a Na'ara can still do mi'un. But by regarding Ktana, regarding the Knas of Ktana, he holds like Rabbi Meir that Ktana doesn't have Knas. Asks the Gemara, can you say that? Umi Savarla? Does Rabbi Yehuda hold like Rabbi Meir really? That a Ktana does not have Knas? Veha Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav on the upcoming Mishnah later on Daf Mem Amud Bet, it says, Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav, Zo divrei Rabbi Meir. This that it says later on in the Mishnah, Ktana does not have Knas, that's according to Rabbi Meir. But Chachamim hold, Ktana does have a Knas. Ve'im ita. Now if you tell me that Rabbi Yehuda holds like Rabbi Meir, Zo divrei Rabbi Meir ve'Rabbi Yehuda mibayele. Rav Yehuda should have said in the name of Rav, these are the words of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Why did it just say Rabbi Meir? That mashma that all Chachamim, including Rabbi Yehuda, argue with Rabbi Meir, who holds that Ktana does have Knas. Chachamim, including Rabbi Yehuda, hold that Ktana does have Knas. And therefore, you can't say this answer either on our Braita. Answers the Gemara, Hai Tana, the Tana of this Braita, Savala ke Rabbi Meir Bechada, Upali Gale Bechada. The Tana of this Braita that we learned, he holds like Rabbi Meir in one issue, which is that a Ktana does not have Knas. That's why he said, Ailoni does not have Knas. Upali gale bechada, but he argues with Rabbi Meir in another issue regarding Mema'enet. Rabbi Meir holds only a Ktana could be Mema'en, but the Tana of the Braita holds like the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, who holds a Na'ara, could also be Mema'en. And therefore, when it said in the Braita Mema'enet, it meant a Na'ara that's Mema'enet. And therefore, you cannot infer from the Braita that a Ktana has Knas. Only a Na'ara has Knas. Rafram Amar, Rafram has a different way of answering the contradiction between the two conflicting statements in the Braita. My Mema'enet, when the Braita says the Mema'enet does not have Knas, it doesn't mean a girl that actually was Mema'en. Hare'uya Lema'en, it means a girl who's in the age where she can be Mema'en. And that's a Ktana. So when he said Mema'enet, it meant to include all Ktanot. So really the whole Braita is according to Rabbi Meir, that a Ktana does not have Knas. That's what it means, Mema'enet en laknas, that means Ktana, and Ailonit en laknas, also because she is a Ktana right away until she gets to Bogeret. She's never a Na'ara. Velitni Ktana, but then the difficulty is, why do you have to say it in such a roundabout way? If you're referring to a regular Ktana, just say Ktana en laknas. Why do you have to say Mema'enet, and I'll translate it into Re'uya lema'en? Kashia, the Gemara says, okay, that's a difficulty. But Rafam explains that when it says Mema'enet, it means Ktana hare'uya lema'en, and the whole Braita is going according to Rabbi Meir. Now the Gemara goes back to discuss the statement in the Braita, Ailonit en la lo knas velo pitui. And Ailonit does not have the din of knas or pitui that is mentioned in our Mishnah, in the case of rape or seduction. Uremin, he asks the Gemara, we have a contradiction from another Braita. There's another Braita that says, Hachireshet vehashota vehailonit, yesh lahen knas, veyesh lahem tanat betulim. It says, Hachireshet, a deaf mute, shota, an imbecile, vehailonit, and the woman who is an ailonit, yesh lahem knas, they do have the fine of rape, veyesh lahem tanat betulim. And there is a claim concerning their betulim, which means if one of these women married with the chazakah that she's a betula, and she received a ketubah, her husband has the right to claim, if he doesn't find betulim, he has the right to claim that it's a mekach taut, that it's a mistaken transaction, and she doesn't get the ketubah. So that's what it says in the Braita. Bottom line, what do we see here? It says openly, Ailonit yesh laim knas. And our Braita, what did it say before? That en laim knas, that's a stira. Asks the Gemara, veha mai rumya. What kind of a contradiction are you asking here? This is easily answered. Harabi Meir, Harabanan. Didn't you just explain that our Braita, the Braita that we mentioned, that Ainonit Enlayin Knas, is going according to Rabbi Meir, who holds that a Ktana does not have Knas? So that's why an Ailonit who has a status of a Ktana until Bagrut does not have Knas. Harabana, the Braita that we just quoted now, you can say is going according to Rabbanan, who hold that even a Ktana receives Knas. So what is the, it's a very easy contradiction to answer. What's the question? In fact, the Gemara asks, Ude Karila, my Karila, the one who raised the question, why did he raise the question? It's so simple to answer it this way, that this Braita is Rabbi Meir and this Braita is Rabbanan. The Gemara answers, no, really, of course, the one who asked the question knew that you can easily answer it. The reason why he brought up this new Braita to ask a contradiction is not necessarily from the word of Ailonit. Mishum de'itle lemirme achriti, lemirma achriti ilave, because there is another contradiction to be asked on it. Because what does it say in the Braita that we just brought? It mentioned two others, hachereshet v'ashota. Besides the Ailonit, it said hachereshet v'ashota, yesh laim knas v'yesh laim ta'anat betulim, right? Well, we have another braita. There's another braita that states, "Hachereshet vehashota vehabogeret umukat etz." The deaf mute, the shota, the bogeret, the grown woman, umukat etz, and the one who was wounded, her virginity was ruined, was wounded by a piece of wood, and therefore she lost her betulim. These cases, en lahem ta'anat betulim. The husband can never claim that he didn't find betulim and it's a mekach ta'ut to cause them a loss of the ketubah. You can't do that with a chereshet, shota, bogeret, and mukatetz. Hasuma ve'ailonit, a blind woman, an ailonit, yesh lahem ta'anat betulim. Sumchus omer, Sumchus says, mishum Rabbi Meir, suma en la ta'anat betulim. In the case of a woman who is blind, then there is no ta'anat betulim. So bottom line, what do we see here? The contradiction is with regard to the claim of Betulim of the Chereshet and the Shota. In the Braita, the first Braita that you just brought to us before, it said Chereshet and Shota, Yesh Lahem Ta'anat Betulim. And here we have a Braita, this second Braita, where it says Chereshet and Shota, En Lahem Ta'anat Betulim. That's the Stira, that is the contradiction that the one who asked wanted to raise. So what is the answer to that? Amar Rav Sheshet. Rav Sheshet says, lo kashe, it's not a question. Ha Rabban Gamliel veha Rabbi Yoshua. The Braita that says that the Chereshet and Shota do not have Ta'anat Betulim, that's the Shita of Rabban Gamliel. That's Rabban Gamliel from the Mishnah earlier in our Masechet, and Daf Yud Bet Amud Bet, who holds that if a husband claims that he didn't find Betulim, and therefore his transaction is a Mekach Ta'ut, and the Kala is counterclaiming that really at the time when Kiddushin was given to her, she was a virgin, she was a Betula, and she was raped between the time of Erusin, between the time of Kiddushin and Nisuim. And Rabban Gamliel said she is believed, and she doesn't lose her Ketubah. So therefore, that's the Braita here that says that even if she's a Chereshet and Shota, the husband cannot claim the Ta'anat Biturim, because if they were not Chereshet or Shota, they would be able to counterclaim and to be believed. So that Braita is going like Rabban Gamliel. Veha Rabbi Yoshua. And the Braita, the second one that says that in fact, the first one that we mentioned before, that a chereshet and shota does have, the husband does have a ta'anat betulim, that's according to Rabbi Yoshua, who argues with Rabban Gamliel there and says that she's not believed. So the same thing over here, chereshet v'shota, yesh lahim ta'anat betulim. Asks the Gemara, Eimar de shamat lele Rabban Gamliel, when is it that you heard that Rabban Gamliel says that the husband cannot be to'en ta'anat betulim? That's only when she claims back to him, when she counterclaims and says that she was raped under him. Heicha de kata'anahi, when she is counterclaiming, that's when she has a ta'anat bari. Remember the Gemara there explained? She is a bari, she is certain with her claim, and he's only a shema. That's when Rabban Gamliel said, ne'emen it. But heicha de lo kata'anahi ihi, but in a case where she's not counterclaiming back, like in this case over here, Chereshet and Shotash, he's not saying anything. Mishamatle, do you know that Rabban Gamliel would hold that still in this case also, he cannot be toen ta'anat betulim? So how do you know to answer and to say that this baita that says en laim ta'anat betulim is going according to Rabban Gamliel? Maybe he only holds that when she counterclaims, but by Chereshet and Shota of this baita, where obviously she's not counterclaiming, maybe Rabban Gamliel does not hold like that. The Gemara says, in, yes, we did hear that Rabban Gamliel holds that even by Chereshet and Shota, the halakha is that he cannot claim ta'anat betulim. Because kevan de'ama Rabban Gamliel, Mehemna, since Rabban Gamliel says that in a case where she counterclaims, she's believed, so kegonzu, in such an instance as such, where she is a chereshet and shota, and she cannot counterclaim on her own, petach picha le'ilemhu, it's a case where the pasuk in Mishle says, open your mouth for the mute. When a person doesn't have the capacity to counterclaim on his own, the bedin have to make the claim on her behalf. And therefore, Rabban Gamliel would hold in this case as well that the husband cannot be toen ta'anat beturim, and therefore it is a valid explanation to say that the author of the braita that says en laim ta'anat beturim is Rabban Gamliel, the author of the other braita that says yesh laim is Rabbi Yoshua, and that solves the contradiction. Now, the braita that we brought stated vehaboget en la ta'anat beturim. A grown woman, once she passes the stage of na'arut, beyond 12 and a half, she is called a begeret, and there is no ta'anat betulim. The husband cannot be to'en, cannot claim that he didn't find betulim, because of the changes to her body as her body matures, so her betulim are no longer completely intact, and that's why he doesn't have a claim anymore to say that it's a mekach ta'ut. So now the Gemara asks on this. Ve'ha'amarav bogeret notnim la laila harishon. Didn't Rav say that according to Chachamim, we give the bogeret, the grown woman who had relations on her wedding night, notnim la laila harishon. We give her the entire first night, during which, even if she has relations with her husband several times, any dam, any blood that is seen during that night, is attributed to dam betulim, which is tahor, which is pure. It's not dam nida. So that's what it means, notnim la laila rishon, the entire night, no matter how much dam she sees from relations, we consider it dam betulim, and she is tahor, and it's not dam nida. So what do you see from here? That even a bogeret has betulim. How could you say, why is it that you say a bogeret en la ta'anat betulim, as if to say the bogeret does not have her virginity intact? What do you mean? We see that notnim la laila rishon. That means the chachamim agree that the bogeret does have betulim. So he should have the ability to claim lo matzati betulim. I didn't find blood of betulim. So the Gemara says, ide katayin ta'anat damim hachinami. You're right, the Gemara says. If his claim is that there is no dam after consummating the marriage, if that's what he's saying, if his ta'ana is ta'ana damim, that he didn't find any dam betulim, so then hachinami, then it's true, he does have a ta'ana in that case, and she may lose her ketubah with that claim. That's true. Hacha b'mayaskinan dekatayin ta'anat petach patuach. Remember, earlier in the Masechet we learned there are two ways of ta'anat betulim. Either by saying he didn't find dam, or by saying that he found an open entrance, which means that she didn't have a hymen at all, she didn't have betulim at all. So in that case, that's what we mean, en ta'anat betulim, by a bogeret. By the bogeret, her petach is already patuach, being that her body matured already, so the hymen is no longer completely intact. And therefore a claim to say ta'anat petach patuach would not have any consequence. It's stated in the Braita, Sumchus omer mishum Rabbi Meir. Sumchus says in the name of Rabbi Meir, Suma en la ta'anat betulim. In the case of a blind woman, the husband cannot claim ta'anat betulim. Why is that? My ta'ama de Sumchus, what's the reason to this? Amar Rabbi Zera says, Mipeneshe nechbetet al gabe karka, because it is common, because she's a blind woman, that beforehand, many times she probably fell She was struck and she fell onto the ground, which caused her hymen to break, and she lost her betulim that way. And therefore, there is no ta'anav betulim, as if she was to say that she was mezanin. No, it could be she lost it earlier in her life by a wound, by falling. And therefore, there is no ta'ana against her. She cannot lose her ketubah with the husband saying that it's a mekach ta'ut. The Gemara asks, yeah, but that could apply to all girls. Kul hunami chabute mechabti. All girls can fall and have their betulim lost that way. Why do you say only a suma does not have ta'anat betulim? The Gemara says there's a difference. Kul hu, by all girls, ro'ot umar'ot le'iman. When they fall, so they're able to see the blood that flows from them, and they show it to their mother. And their mother would then examine them, and she would discover that she doesn't have betulim. So then, when she gets married, if she doesn't tell the chatan that she doesn't have betulim, that's a mekach ta'ut. She can tell because she was able to see, and her mother checked her out, and therefore she would know that she doesn't have betulim. Zo, but the blind woman, the blind girl, ena ro'a, she can't see, ve'ena mar'a le'ima. So even if she had a flow of blood when she got struck and she fell down, but she wouldn't show it to her mother because she would not know. So because of that possibility, the one who married the blind woman should have considered that likelihood, that maybe her betulim are not intact. And therefore, you cannot say it's a mekach ta'ut, because the fact that she didn't say anything, that doesn't make it a mekach ta'ut. She didn't know about it because she didn't see. And therefore, he should have considered that likelihood that she doesn't have betulim. And therefore, it's too late to make a ta'ana afterwards, ta'anat betulim, and have her lose the ketubah. That's why Rabbi Meir said, suma en la ta'anat betulim. The Braita continued, the previous Braita said at the end, Vehayotzet mishum shemra en la lo knas velo pitui. That the one who leaves her husband because of the bad reputation, she, if she was raped, there's no fine, and there's no fine of seduction. So now, the Gemara is understanding here that the Braita is referring to a young woman who was Mekudeshet, who left her husband because of the Motzi Shemra, because she committed adultery. So the Gemara asks, Hayotzet Mishum Shemra Bat Skilahi, but she is punishable by Skila. So obviously she's not entitled to the Knas of the Me'anes. She's punishable by Skila. Amar Rav Sheshet says, Hachika Amar. This is what it means. Mi sheyatzah aleha shemra biyalduta. One who, about whom a bad reputation came out while she was in her youth. That she engaged in, relations. So there was a bad name about her. Then, in this case, that's what the Mishnah is referring, that there is no knas, not for rape and not for seduction, because the assumption is that she's no longer a betula anyway, because she has a shemra when she was young. Amar Rav Papa says, Shma Mina, we can conclude from this, Hai shtara ria lamagbinan be, that if you have a shtar, a document, that is tainted, ria, which means the authenticity of the document was compromised because of a bad rumor or whatever it may be, lo magbinan, we cannot collect a debt with such a shtar. So now, the Gemara asks, Hei chidami, what are the circumstances that you're talking about? If you're talking about a case that a rumor came out about this shtar, that it's a forged document, so then compare it to over here. In our case over here, the case of the bad reputation, it would mean that a rumor came out about her that she engaged in znut. But Rava said, if a rumor came out about a woman in town that she engaged in znut, we don't have to be concerned about it. The assumption is that this kol is not substantial. Therefore, this is not the halakha regarding shtar that you can learn from the case of Yotzet Mishum Shemra, because if it's only because of a kol, if it's only because of some kind of a rumor, that's not enough to create a psul in the shtar, just like it's not enough to create a psul in the woman herself. Something that is just a rumor, we disregard it when her reputation is on the line. So that cannot be the case of the Braita that says Hayotzet Mishum Shemra En La Loknas Velo Pitui. Because if Yotzet Mishum Shemra, because of a rumor, that's she wouldn't lose her knas in that case, because according to Rava, we don't listen to such rumors. Ela, rather, we have to say that when it says Hayotzet Mishum Shemra, the bad reputation that is being referred to in the Braita, for which she loses her, she doesn't have the right to a knas, the Atu Beitrei VeAmri must be in a case where two people come and they say Ledidhu Tavatin Hi BeIsura, that she propositioned us in forbidden relations. She asked us to have forbidden relations with her. Two people come and say that. Okay, that would be the case that when it says, Ayotzet mishum shemra, en la lo knas. She doesn't have knas if she was raped. So dekavata hacha. So then you would have to say the same thing regarding the shtar, when Rav Papa is comparing it to the case of a document that is questionable. What would be the case? De'atu beitrei ve'amri, that two people come and say, ledidhu amar lehu zayfuli. Two people come and say, you know, the owner of the shtar, he came to us and he asked us to forge the shtar, to sign falsely. Oh, that's the bad reputation that is being spread about the shtar, right? Well, the question is, what do you mean? Why would that make the shtar unusable? Bishla mahatam. I understand by the case of the na'ara, the two people who came who said about her that she came and asked them to have forbidden relations with her. That's the bad reputation. Shchichi putzim. Unfortunately, there are people that are immoral, which means if they refuse, she probably went to someone else and she engaged in relations with someone else. There are people, there is no shortage of immoral men, of putzim. But over here, elahacha, regarding a shtar, im hu huchzak, kol Yisrael mi huchzeku. Just because the owner of this shtar has now a chazakah that he wanted to be mezayef, that he was looking for forgery, what are we going to say? That all the Jewish people now have the chazakah as mezayfim, as forgers? Meaning, he asked these two, they didn't want. Who said he found anybody to be mezayef? We assume that a regular Yisrael would not agree to sign falsely. So why do we say that therefore this shtar cannot be used? Ma says, no, hachanami, over here also by the shtar, kevandeka mehadara ziyufa, since we see that the Baal HaShtar is seeking forgery, ema, we can say ziyufa zayif vekatav. We can say that he forged the document and he wrote it, which means even if other people are not suspected of cooperating with him, but there is a suspicion with regards to the shtar itself because of the owner of the shtar. Maybe he forged it and he forged signatures as well. Therefore, the case of the shtar ra'ua and the case of a woman with a bad reputation are two cases that can be compared one to another. The Mishnah begins, ve'elu she'en lahem kenas. And the following is the list of relations where in case there was a rape, knas of the Torah, the Chamishim Kesef, does not apply. Haba la giyoret ve'la shevuya ve'la shivcha shenifdu ve'shenitgayru ve'shenishtacheru yeterot al benot shalosh ani v'yom echad. If it was with a shivcha, I'm sorry, with a giyoret, with a convert who converted older than 3 years and 1 day. A shevuya, a captive woman who was ransomed older than the age of 3 and 1 day. Or a shivcha, a maidservant that was liberated when she was older than 3 years old and 1 day. So we presume that they are no longer betulot. In these cases, the giyoret because she was a goya before, the shevuya because she was held captive among the goyim, and the same thing goes for a shivcha. So they don't have a cheskat betulim, and that's why there is no knas, because the knas of me'anes is only by a betula. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, Shvuya shenifdet harehi bikdushata af al pi shegdola. Rabbi Yehuda holds a captive woman who was redeemed, she remains in her state of Kedusha, in her presumption of Kedusha, even though she was a Gdola, even if she was an adult. We cannot state with certainty that she engaged in bi'ah, and therefore she still has a chazakah of betulim, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Now the Mishnah continues the list of cases of women who are not entitled to the knas when there is an ones or seduction. Haba al bito, one who is with his daughter, al bat bito, the daughter of his daughter, bat beno, the daughter of his son, al bat ishto, the daughter of his wife, al bat bena, the daughter of her son, al bat bita, the daughter of her daughter, in all these cases, en lahem knas. There is no knas, and the reason for that is, mipenesh mitchayev benafsho, because he is liable to receive the death penalty in all these relations anyway. Shemitatan bidei beddin, because in these cases, the liability is a death penalty at the hands of the beddin. V'chol ha-mitchayev benafsho en meshalem mamon, the Mishnah says. As we learned before, that anyone who has a liability of death penalty, en meshalem mamon, he doesn't pay the monetary penalty. That's en adam metum shalem, as we learned before. Shene'emar, as we learned from the pasuk, ve'im lo yehye ason anoshi anish. If there's no tragic harm that is caused, then he has to pay the monetary penalty, which indicates that if there was a tragic harm, let's say the woman died by the one who struck her, so then in that case, it wouldn't be anoshi anish. He would not, since he's going to receive the death penalty, he's exempt from the payment, as we saw previously brought down in the Gemara before. Now the Gemara begins, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabbi Dosa amru davar echad. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Dosa say the same thing regarding a shvuya, regarding a captive woman. Rabbi Yehuda hadamaran, Rabbi Yehuda, that which is said in the Mishnah, that she doesn't lose her chazaka of kedusha even if she's an adult. Rabbi Dosa is the following. The Tanya, we learned in a Braita, Shvuya ochelet bitruma, divrei Rabbi Dosa. A Shvuya, a captive woman, and she is a daughter or a wife of a Kohen, and she was redeemed, she's allowed to eat truma. We don't say that she became psula to eat truma. That's the words of Rabbi Dosa. Amar Rabbi Dosa, and Rabbi Dosa said in explanation to what he said, V'chima asala aravi halaz. After all, what did this Arab who took her captive, what did he do to her? V'chimi pineh shemi'echla ben dadeha pesala ben mina kehuna. Even if you want to say that he mi'echla ben dadeha, he acted in a promiscuous way with her by squeezing her between her breasts, does he render her pesula le kehuna? Which means, although he may have taken liberties with her, but there's no concern that he actually had relations with her. That's the opinion of Rabbi Dosa, and that is similar to Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah. So that's what Rabbi Yochanan says, that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Dosa are saying the same thing. Amar Rabba, Rabba is questioning the words of Rabbi Yochanan. Dilma lohi, maybe you cannot compare Rabbi Dosa's words to Rabbi Yehuda's words in the Mishnah. Ad kan lukam Rabbi Yehuda hacha, when does Rabbi Yehuda say his din over here? Over here, regarding the fine that the rapist has to pay, that's where Rabbi Yehuda says, no, she has a knas. Just because she was a shvuya, just because she was taken captive in her youth, he should gain and he should not have to pay because he raped her. So, shelo yehechoten iskar, because of the rule that a sinner should not profit from his sin. So maybe Rabbi Yehuda is only limiting his opinion to the case of knas by me'anes. Aval hatam, but over there, regarding her eligibility to be able to eat truma, kerabanan svirale. Maybe Rabbi Yehuda would hold to be machmir, that she cannot eat truma, that the shvuya cannot eat truma. Inami, or you can say the other way around. At kanu kama Rabbi Dosa hatam. When does Rabbi Dosa say that the shvuya could eat truma? So he's lenient regarding truma. Ela bituma de rabanan. He's talking about eating truma that is only mid rabanan. That's where he rules leniently to say that a shvuya can eat truma. Aval knas de oraita ke rabanan svirale. But maybe regarding the payment of the fine, which is something that is mide oraita, maybe he would hold, according to the opinion of the chachamim, that the rapist will be exempt from payment based on the principle that we normally have, Hamotzi mechaveru alav ha-re'aya, that the burden of proof is upon the one who wants to claim the money, so therefore she cannot prove that her captors did not engage in bi'ah with her, and that she is still a betula, and therefore she would not receive the knas. So Rabbi is saying you cannot compare both opinions. Amar le Abaye, Abaye said to Rabba, v'ta'ame de Rabbi Yehuda hacha, shelo yehe chote niskaru? Is that really the reason for the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda over here in the case of the knas? Just to ensure that the sinner does not profit? V'hatanya, but we learned in a braita, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer Rabbi Yehuda says, shvuya shenishvet, a captive woman, harehi b'kedushata, she stays in her state of kedusha, with the chazaka of betula, with the presumptive status of a betula, afilu bat eser shanim, even if she was taken into captivity when she was 10 years old, still ktubatama time, her ktubah is 200, which means that according to Rabbi Yehuda, she has a cheskat betulim, even though she was a shvuya. And there, in that case of ktubah, vehatam, mai shelo yechote niskar ika, what's the relevance over here to the rule that we don't ensure that the sinner will profit? But the Braita is talking about the ktubah. There's no avera that was involved. So we see that that cannot be the reason why Rabbi Yehuda holds that she has a cheskat betulim. Well, the Gemara says, hatam nami, dilma memani velo nasvila. Over there also, Rabbi Yehuda, the reason why he's posek to leave her becheskat betulim regarding the ketubah is also for a different reason. Because if she didn't receive her ketubah of a betula, then people would refrain from marrying her because due to the suspicion, oh, that probably some people know that her captors violated her. So in order not to put her in such a situation where people are not going to want to marry her, that's why Rabbi Yehuda says that Shvuya Shenishbet receives the full ketubah of Betulim. But that doesn't mean that he would hold the same halakha regarding Truma as Rabbi Dosa. Now the Gemara wants to ask a contradiction in the words of Rabbi Yehuda himself, in his opinions himself. V'savar Rabbi Yehuda b'kedushata kaima? Is it true, be'emet, that Rabbi Yehuda holds that a shvuya, a captive woman, remains in her state of kedusha, and she has cheskat betulim? Does Rabbi Yehuda hold like that? As we see suggested from our Mishnah. V'hatanya, but we have a braita that says the following, which would appear to be a contradiction. The braita states, first the Gemara will quote the braita and explain the braita, and then we'll see what the contradiction is. Vehatanya, we learned in Ebraita, hapode et hashevuya yisaena. One who redeems a captive woman is allowed to marry her, even if he's a kohen. Meidba lo yisaena. But if he testifies about her that she is still pure, that she did not engage in relations while in captivity, lo yisaena, then he cannot marry her. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, meaning if he's a Kohen, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, ben kach u ben kach lo yisaena. Rabbi Yehuda says, in both cases, whether it's hapodeh, whether it's the redeemer, or the testifier, lo yisaena, he cannot marry her if he's a Kohen. So now, the Gemara wants to first explain this braita. Haguf akashia. This braita itself is difficult, in and of itself. Amart, on one hand, you say, hapodeh et hashevuya yisaena, that the redeemer, if he redeems her from captivity, he can marry her. And then you tell me, if he testifies about her, that she is pure, he cannot marry her. What? Mishum de me'idba lo yisaena? Just because he testifies about her, that so therefore that's reason to say he shouldn't marry her? Why? What's the difference? Why do you say, if he redeems her, he can marry her? If he testifies to her purity, then he cannot marry her. What does that mean? Halo kashya. The Gemara says, this is not a difficulty. Hachikama. This is what the Braita is saying. Hapodeh et hashevuya umeidba yisaena. It means if a person redeems a captive woman and he testifies that she was not violated, he's allowed to marry her, even if he's a kohen. Meidba kedi, but kedi means only. If he only testifies that she was not violated, but he didn't redeem her, lo yisaena. Then that's not enough of evidence to allow for him to marry her. The reason to make this difference is because if he redeemed her. He paid a lot of money to ransom her, and he testified. So we believe that she was really Tehora, because otherwise he wouldn't spend such an exorbitant amount of money just because he wants to marry her and he knows that she's Pesula to him. Must be, if he spent that money, he knows that she is Muteret, that she's eligible to marry him. And therefore, that's why he's believed. But if, let's say, he didn't pay the ransom, he just testified that she is pure. Well, maybe it's because he put his eye on her and he wants to marry her. But really, she's not, but he didn't do his due diligence to make sure to the fact that she was not violated. That's why in that case, lo yisa'ena. So now, the Gemara, now that we explain the Baita, the Gemara comes back to the question, mikol makom kasha l'Rabbi Yehuda. But still, bottom line, we have a contradiction between the two statements of Rabbi Yehuda. In our Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda said that the Shvuya receives a knas because she has her chazakah of Betulim intact, right? She remains in her state of Kedusha. And here in the Braita, we see Rabbi Yehuda openly, he's even more machmir. He says that the Shvuya, the Kohen cannot marry her, right? Because maybe she was violated. So we see openly that he holds that she does not remain in the state of Kedusha, in the Chazakah, in the presumptive status of Betula. So how do we answer this blatant contradiction between the two statements of Rabbi Yehuda? Amar Rav Papa, Rav Papa says, Eima Rabbi Yehuda omer ben kach u ben kach yisa'ena. Rav Papa takes the route of saying there is a mistake in the girsa of the Braita. The Braita has to be amended. Instead of saying Rabbi Yehuda omer ben kach u ben kach lo yisa'ena, you have to say the other way. Rabbi Yehuda says whether he redeemed her or he testified, yisa'ena, he is allowed to marry her. That's going along with what he said in the Mishnah, that a shvuya remains with her cheskat kashrut. The son of Rav Yeshua says differently. Le'olam kediktani. Really, leave it as it is stated. So, how do you understand the contradiction? Rabbi Yehuda le'divrehem de Rabbanan ka'amar lehu. This that Rabbi Yehuda says ben kach u ben kach lo yisa'ena, he's not going in his own opinion. He's going in the opinion of Rabbanan. He's confronting what Chachamim are saying, and this is what he's saying to them. Lididi, according to me, as far as I'm concerned, ben kach u ben kach yisa'ena. In both cases, he can marry her, because I hold that a shvuya remains in her state of cheskat kedusha. Ela lididchu, but according to you, how does it make sense to make a difference? Ben kach u ben kach lo yisa'ena mibayele. It should be that in both cases, whether he redeemed her and testified or just testified alone, in both cases, it should be lo yisa'ena, according to you, because of the concern that she was violated. So, be'emet, what did Rabbanan answer to that? The Rabbanan replied to this, ha'podet ha'shevuya u'me'id ba yisa'ena. The reason why we say when he ransomed her and he testified that she's pure, he's allowed to marry, lo shadi inish zuze bichdi. A person doesn't throw away money for nothing. If he paid the ransom to redeem her, then it must be that he is certain that she is a betula. Me'id ba, Kedi, but if he's only testifying, but he didn't pay the ransom, lo yisa'ena. We don't allow, that's when we say he's not allowed to marry her. Shema inav natanba. Maybe he laid his eyes on her to marry her, and he's prepared to lie in order to marry her. So therefore, that's why we say, in that case, lo yisa'ena.